Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome to another edition of Entrepreneur Weekly. You know, I was noodling around on Facebook the other day, and I saw one of my favorite all-time comedians, talking, and I'm like, oh, what's he saying? What's he saying? It was Steve Martin. Love Steve Martin. And I thought, I got to hear. So I clicked, and it was something called Masterclass. And it was Steve Martin teaching a class. And I thought to myself, what is this? What's going on here? So I clicked and looked a little deeper, and I saw all these amazing people that are celebrities, whether it's somebody, you know, you had a crush on, or somebody that you love their acting or their singing, or their Serena Williams, Dustin Hoffman, Usher, Ron Howard, you know, Wolfgang Puck. I mean, it's like amazing. They're teaching something that they're passionate about, their craft. So I reached out. We got the co-founder and CEO, David Rogier. He is on the line with us right now, and he's going to tell us how this all got started. I think it's brilliant. Welcome to the show, David.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us, how did this all get started? And congratulations. I think this is just a fabulous idea.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah, so we launched about 2.5 years ago. It was founded by myself and my friend Aaron. And we both wanted to start something that would have at least a small impact on the world. And on my side, I kept going back to a story I heard from my grandmother. And I was in part raised by her. And I was about 8 or 9 years old, so I don't know, about second grade. And I went to her house, and I remember I walked in, and I was complaining to her about all the math schoolwork I had to do. Obviously, I didn't have a lot because I'm like 8 or 9 years old. But I was complaining about all the math and work I had to do. And she said, David, I want you to sit down. I have a story to tell you. I was like, oh, God, not another story. And she tells me this story that changed my life. My grandmother was about 16. She was living in Poland, and she went on a family vacation, her and her mom. And her dad stayed home a couple extra days to help finish a bunch of work. And while she's on vacation, the Nazis invade, and they take everything, and they kill her father. She flees to New York City. She gets a job on a factory floor. And while she's working the factory floor, she applies to medical school. And she applies over 25 schools, and she gets a no from every single school. She applies again the next year. She gets a no from every single school. And so what she decides to do is start calling the deans of admissions and asking, why is she not getting it? She's unable to get anyone on the phone except for one of them, who tells her, I'll be honest with you. You have 3 strikes against you. You are a woman, you're a foreigner, and you are Jewish. And he hangs up the phone on her. And she's like, I don't care. I'm going to apply again next year. She applies again next year to all 25 schools, and she gets into one school. And she becomes a doctor, and she builds up a large practice. And I'm staring at her because I'm 8 or 9 years old, and this is intense stuff to be hearing at that age. And she says, she tells me, in case it's not clear to you, David, the point I'm trying to make is education is the only thing that someone can't take away from you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Let me take a break. I love this. And you know what? I can see that Masterclass is going to be changing the online education landscape. Because who wouldn't, if they want to learn about jazz, want to learn from Herbie Hancock? Or how about Gordon Ramsay or Wolfgang Puck teaching you about cooking? I mean, this is cool. We'll be right back. We have David Rogier, masterclass.com. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Not a trace of doubt in my mind.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
It is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Our guest right now is David Rogier, co-founder and CEO of Masterclass. Check it out online, masterclass.com. You want to see some of your favorite Hollywood stars teaching what they are so good at. This is absolutely brilliant. David, let's just talk about this. First of all, thank you for sharing that great story about your grandmother. That's very inspiring. But I have to imagine that getting this whole thing off the ground, I mean, these are people that are not easy to get in contact with to begin with. And then, you know, I'm sure the rejection must have been intense in the beginning. But maybe you could talk about that. What was it like when it started, and how much have you grown in the last couple of years?
Yeah, it was really hard in the beginning, I'm going to be honest. It was very difficult. You know, I don't come from the entertainment world, right? So, you know, it was tons of cold calling, cold emailing, asking anybody who I knew if they knew somebody else. I remember we sent a cold email to the author, James Patterson, who's the best-selling author in the world. And then one day I was walking in a mall, and I get a call on my cell phone from somebody who I don't recognize. And I answer. I said, "Hi, I'm David." And the other side was like, "Hi, this is Jim Patterson." And I was like, "The author?" I was very unsmooth.
That's awesome.
And very unslick about it. Yeah. But yes, yeah, so it was initially, you know, you definitely had to convince these people that you were going to care about actually teach their craft. And this wasn't just about being a fan. It's about actual mastery. And ever since we launched about 2.5 years ago, it's taken off. So We've now raised over $50 million.
Oh, my God.
We have about 100 employees.
Wow.
And now, you know, it is now much easier.
I love it because you followed something that was a passion inside of you. You did kind of like what your grandmother taught you, which is just keep on going. You know, I've heard before, when you're going through hell, don't stop. Just keep going. Because guess what? You'll actually get somewhere. But if you stop and you give up, then you land right in this place of humiliation and, you know, and it goes downhill from there. So when you're on this journey, you just got to keep going. Congratulations. Now, you've got 100 employees. I'm looking at the website as we're speaking. Very nicely done. Very professional. I've watched a number of videos. I mean, fantastic. What did you do before this to give you kind of the wherewithal to even kind of conjure all this up?
Ever since I was a kid, I was a bit of an entrepreneur. So when I was like, I think I was 12, I created a search engine and I sold that for, at the time, I thought was tons of money. It was $600. and, you know, I've always, you know, loved the entrepreneurial stuff. But before this, I worked at Tesco, a large company. I was at IDEO. I was a venture capitalist. I went and got an MBA. But I think one of the most important things is you have to figure out something that you are going to love working on. And you're not going to love every single bit of it because there are going to be days where the work sucks. But you have to find that idea that on those great days, it's going to make it all worth it.
I'm looking at some of the folks that you have coming, Helen Mirren and Wolfgang Puck and Mark Jacobs, Thomas
Kelly. Steph Curry.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, this Martin Scorsese, you know,
yeah.
Where
amazing
does he, class. Yeah, I mean, it's like teaching filmmaking, teaching fashion design, teaching directing. It's like, you can learn anything you want. This is brilliant. I work with Chase Jarvis from Creative Live, and it's just, I love how people like yourselves and like Chase have looked at how we learn things and looked at how our minds, you know, get interested in certain things and have created these enablers like Who wouldn't want to learn from Martin Scorsese? Just to sit and listen to him talk and to listen to him share his craft. Or the same goes with any. I mean, when I was watching Ron Howard, it's like you fall in love with the guy for even deeper, I guess you might say, because of just his sweet nature. You know what I mean? It's like this is just pure brilliant. All right. We have to take another break. When we come back, maybe you can talk about this all-access pass. I am absolutely blown away by what I'm learning here from David, everybody. You guys all need to go check it out, masterclass.com. It is absolutely awesome. I'm so glad I got a hold of you. I'm so glad you spent the money so that I got this thing on Facebook that I was like, hey, just shows the advertising works. Look where you're at right now with us. We'll be right back. You're listening, everybody, to Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media. Check us out online at entrepreneur.com. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
The song, by the way, from the All-American Rejects, Dirty Little Secrets. Imagine being able to learn something you're passionate about from one of your favorite stars. David Rogier, CEO and co-founder of Masterclass, joining us right now, masterclass.com. I'm looking at Martin Scorsese and Wolfgang Puck and many other stars, Thomas Keller. My question is, and I want to get to the all-access pass because I can only imagine what is inside that I haven't seen yet. But for you, David, have you had any entrepreneurial learnings along the way that you wish you had had when you started? Because we're all students, right?
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. And I've had great mentors to help. I think one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was that your only job as an entrepreneur, and I think this is really true in the first phases of starting your company, is to make sure that every single day you don't kill the business. And if you're able to survive to go the next day, that is a win. Because every day you're going to have something that's going to come up in a fight that you're going to be scared about, that's going to get you anxious, so you're not sure the impact is. As long as you're still standing, that means that you are doing a good job. And that's, I think, really helpful to recall everything. The other thing I learned in this process, which now is a core part of our company, is that you actually can test out a lot of your ideas before ever going into market. So you're able to run polls, you're able to create fake websites, you're able to find ways to test all the different assumptions you have. That's going to save you time and also money. So I wish I learned both of those things before I got started.
Nice. How about some of these folks were not natural born teachers? Have you guys had to coach people, these celebrities, in order to make sure they do a better job? Or do you just go, all right, you know what you do, go teach it now? What is the process the celebrities have?
Yeah, I mean, these instructors are masters of their craft, but you're right, they often have been taught before. So the instructors work incredibly hard to figure out how to teach it, especially online, and our teams help them. I'll give you one example. We were doing a class with Aaron Sorkin, who's a screenwriter and wrote The West Wing and also Moneyball. And, you know, Aaron thought a lot about how am I going to teach this online? Because so much of it is a collaboration between me and other writers. And so the idea that Aaron Sorkin had was, okay, I'm going to get a room full of writers and I want you to film us and we're going to write a new episode of The West Wing. And in that process, so sure, there's other parts I'm going to teach you, I'm going to break stuff down, but I want you to see the process in action. And that ended up being amazing. If you haven't watched already, it's incredible. And so, you know, the instructors work incredibly hard to figure out how to teach. And then we also give them notes, and they obviously see edits and say, okay, you know what, I want to change that. I want to add this. I want to delete that. So they work really hard on it now.
I have to tell you, I'm noodling through as you're talking. So impressed with the quality of this website, too. Just absolutely beautiful.
You have a great team.
Yeah, beautiful. All I can say is that this is so interesting to me. What about this all-access pass? Because I'm excited. I see there's a price associated with it, which is $180. But, I mean, my kid comes to me the other day, and he goes, Dad, I want to take welding. And let me tell you, it costs a whole lot more than this. So talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, look, underlined lesson learned from my grandmother is, you know, we definitely want to help people be able to learn from the best, because that's one that nobody's ever going to be able to take away from them. And so want to make it that it's affordable. So about 3 weeks ago, we launched something called All Access Pass, which is you're able to take for $180 a year, you get access to every single class.
Wow.
Which is about the price of Netflix.
Yeah. That is unreal.
That gives you an opportunity to learn from the best. Yeah.
And is this a for-profit organization or non-profit, or how does it work?
This is for-profit. I believe if you're able to use markets to solve problems, that's a sustainable solution for it. So yeah, this is definitely for-profit.
I love it. I love it. I love what you're doing. I love what's behind all of this. And David Rogier, you guys have got something very, very special here. Everybody, it's called Masterclass. You can find it at masterclass.com. And I suggest you noodle on their website just a little bit, and you're going to go, no way! Stephen Curry teaching shooting, ball handling, and scoring? What is that? Wait a second. Thomas Keller teaching cooking techniques, and Ron Howard teaching directing. You just keep on going like that, and you'll just be everybody that you are infatuated with or have watched on the big screen or play sports or cook or whatever it is. They're there to teach you. So you know what? There is no excuse for us to sit around on our butts and wish we could be doing something else in life, becoming that entrepreneur with things like this masterclass. And it's very affordable. David, I mean, hats off to you guys. Really, seriously.
Thanks so much.
All right. All right. We're going to take a break here and we'll come back. And this show is all about bringing you all different opportunities to not have to sit there and feel sorry for yourself. There is no excuse. This world is full of wonderful opportunity. And I wanted to bring this masterclass thing to the stage, to the forefront, because this is another wonderful opportunity. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our next guest says to me in the commercial break, my first business was so successful, it failed. I love that. Who is this man? Dan Prosser. He is author of a book called 13ers and a CEO and coach, co-founder of The CEO Blueprint. You can find Dan at Dan Prosser, PROSSER.com. His book, 13ersbook.com. Let's just start with your comment, by the way, which I happen to love. You're an entrepreneur. Your first business was so successful, it failed. First of all, I love kind of those oxymorons like that. It's like, what? Yeah. You know? So maybe you could give me one minute on that. How does that happen?
Sure. I was 26 years old. I give you kind of a reference. I'm over 65, so that was a long time ago. But the thing that I was looking at, and this is really, I think, the most important thing in business today is a term called reverse salient. Now, if you don't know that term, it has to do with weaknesses in systems. And I was working in the business of putting temporary help into light industrial, and I decided that there was really a problem. It was kind of a rent-a-bum kind of a, which is not a nice way to say it, but it was kind of that industry, you know. And what I did was I decided to do it a little differently, and I went out. I had a guy, and he put in $1,000. This is almost too funny. I put in $4,000. We had $5,000. I think we didn't think we were going to be very successful at first. But the first day out, the people that I called on were the people who made Candyland and Chutes and Ladders, mm-hmm. the game. And they needed light industrial help, but they needed good people. And I told them how I was going to have good people for them, and they gave me an order that day. So the first day in business, I was already out there. What happened was it just caught on. And $5,000 does not take you very far when you got a payroll of 50 to 70 people. You got to go to the bank, and banks aren't very helpful, and they don't like taking risks, mm-hmm. and they don't like funding your capital. I mean, you're not going to go to a bank for capital. So the bottom line is, you know, very quickly, after 3 years, it really started looking like I needed to find somebody with some cash, and I needed to bring somebody in, and they wanted me to get out, and I agreed. That simple.
You know, it's funny. It's like, so when you said, oh, my first business was so successful, it failed. Now I get it, because it's just like if you had a great idea and you called Walmart and they went, great, we need 800,000 of them by next Tuesday. It's like you were so successful, you failed because you can't possibly deliver that order. Happens all the time in business with somebody all has a great time. Idea. So I love that. Now tell me this book. What are 13ers? What is that?
Well, you know, I was in business after that. I went into telecom from there. I actually went into the industry that was just starting. It was about to go through deregulation and divestiture. I got in. I started seeing another reverse salient, which was a weakness in that system, and that was that these companies that were buying phone systems then had to deal with an equipment provider, a local telephone vendor, and a long-distance vendor, and every time they had a problem, you know, guess what happened? They pointed fingers at each other. Well, I created a business to actually be their telecom manager, a virtual telecom manager off-site, and they would call our company, my company, and turn the problem over to us. And most of our clients were hotels. And in those days, if you'll remember, you know, cell phones were $1.95 a minute to call from any place outside your local calling. So they were making a fortune. I had Four Season hotels that were making over $1 million a year just on telephone sales. It wasn't their core business, and so they were very happy to turn it over to me. Mm. It was from there that I started a software company. Now, I mentioned this term, reverse salient, because I think it's the most important thing out there. It's really a billionaire's secret. If you really look at all the companies that are successful, that are really successful, they've always filled a gap, a weakness in a system.
You're right.
And if companies would just focus on the weakness in their system, what I saw after selling those two companies was that the weakness in the system was that there were certain companies that could create what I call today connectedness within the organization. Those companies became best place to work companies. Oh. And those companies produced 2 to 3 times the results on the bottom line as the non-best. And so in looking at that, and I started looking at best place to work, a friend of mine gave me the surveys. He was doing the surveys for the business journals. And he gave me the surveys. I did my research. I interviewed people. I started studying what people were saying. And the things that people were saying in the workplace were literally the same things in both types of companies, best and non-best. But what they were pointing to was something that Gallup had missed. You know, Gallup says, you know, that the way to have a successful company is have engaged employees. Well, nobody can define that. And anyway, the source of engagement is a level of connectedness, a relational value system within a company that these companies actually didn't know they were creating. But by studying them, I discovered that I could actually show other companies how to duplicate that and produce those kinds of results, and even more once they got a sense of what a relational value system was and how transactional they were being that prevented them. You know, so when you're a company that's not being successful as you want, you know, whatever that is, you're leading a fear-based organization typically. Mm. And that results in becoming a very transactional organization. And so what we want to do is we want to create relational companies, relational values. And this is what the millennial generation is demanding from their employers, is to create relational and have it be safe. You know, like, be safe to speak up and offer, bring your ideas, you know, to the forefront.
Yeah. All right. Hang tight. We're going to find out about the four core questions of the Breakthrough Solutions Framework that is part of the book, The 13ers, and is the 13ers process. We're talking to the author, Dan Prosser, danprosser.com, 13ersbook.com. Are you interested in the new breakthrough in accountability for executing strategy? That's what we're talking about. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. I'll get him hot, show him what I got.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor, talking with Dan Prosser, author of the book, 13ers. All right, I got to know, what does that mean, 13ers, Dan?
It's really the inverse. It's the 87% of companies that fail to execute their strategy every single year. And so what I talk about in the book is, you know, how to become a 13er. Every CEO wants to be a 13er.
Wait a minute. So 87 plus 13 is 100. So you're talking about the 13% that do it right versus the 87% of the companies that fail to execute their strategy every year. I get it. Okay, so I get it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Mile High Club. I get it.
Yeah, there you go.
I get it. Okay. All right. Now, give us, in the time we have left, because we still have Chase Jarvis coming up next, the four core questions in the book, The 13ers, which is the process, right?
So it's really easy. I should say it's simple, but it's not easy. There's four core questions that can transform an organization. The first question is key. And the question is, if we met here a year from today and you were looking back, what would be a seemingly impossible outcome that you'd be willing to commit to? And that's key, because most companies will look at what's possible. And I'm asking them to look outside the box and create something seemingly impossible, something they don't know how to accomplish. They're going to already do what's possible.
So your dream of dreams, in other words, my dream of dreams, it would be this, okay?
Exactly. Then the second question, now there's a number of questions that go into all of these, but the second basic question is, what is the conversation that is standing in your way of having what you said you're committed to? And when a company discovers what that is, they realize that it's not the leader of the company that's running the show. It's that conversation that's undermining and sabotaging performance. Mm. If you can get to that, you've got a place to come from, which becomes the next question. Who do you need to be?
Okay. That's number two. What's number three?
Well, number two is, what's the conversation standing in the way? Number three is, who do you need to be in order to have what you say you're committed to? So there's got to be a shift in who you're being, not what you do right away, but you've got to have a shift in who you're being. Leaders need to shift who they're being. And then the number four question is very simple. What's missing? You know, how did you get here? So if you're standing in the possibility of something seemingly impossible and you can describe how you got there, then you know what you need to do. But it won't happen until you shift the conversation that's currently running the show and create a powerful place to come from.
And so, what you're leading up to at that point is how to create a paradigm shift, because it's a shift in thinking, because so many people have the mindset of, you know, I don't know how to do this, instead of saying, I'll find out how to do this. I'll do what it takes to do this. And one is you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot by not, by just not having the courage to ask those questions, to have that conversation you're talking about, and then do what you need to do, be who you need to be. It's just like, you know, a good example perhaps is I'm a father of four, and if I need to rise to an occasion to be Superman for my children in a moment, I can either shoot myself in the foot and say I could never do that, or I can say I will do that. And then rise to the occasion, do whatever it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we try to keep the word will and can out of it.
Okay.
Because it's got to be a present. It's got to be present tense. Because I will, you know.
It hasn't happened yet, right? I got it. It
hasn't happened.
I'm tracking with you.
So you got to stand in the future. The future is a declaration. Mm. So if you change your thinking, you can change the conversation in your company. When you change that conversation, you begin to change how the employees in the company connect to each other, to the leader, to the vision, to possible results. And then it literally changes the trajectory of your business profoundly.
Mm.
There's one more piece, and that's the accountability side.
Mm.
And we really simply change that from stop managing people, start managing promises. Promises are the asset of the organization that they don't recognize.
Wow. What happens when you can't keep that promise?
Well, that's a process. You know, people don't keep promises. But what we do is we have a system called the Accountability Scorecard. It's online. People create their strategy, their goals. They then begin to make promises. People make promises, and those get measured. So the key is to be making a promise, first of all, and sometimes that needs to be requested. Then you need to keep the promise and you need to measure it. Mm. And that feedback tells the organization how well it's doing. Mm. But if you can use promise-based management in your organization, you will produce results.
Well, if you guys want more on this, on the web, 13ersbook.com. The man, the myth, the legend, the author, Dan Prosser, danprosser.com. I like it, man. I like it. Dream the dream of your dreams and make it a reality, and maybe Dan can help you. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
It's great stuff. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Chase Jarvis. He's going to answer some of your questions right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. I, like Dan Prosser, love what I do. You can hear it in both of us. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
It's now time to answer your questions. Our friend Chase Jarvis from The Daily Creative is here to do that. Now, the phone number is 802-962-4357, and our first up is Chloe. She's 16 years old. Her dad, who is 51, loves art, but he has very little time to draw anymore since he works a full-time job. Chloe would like to know how her dad can balance a full-time job, his family, and his art. What do you think, Chase?
Chloe, well, A, you're throwing your dad under the bus here. Actually, I think it's beautiful. You're inspired. It sounds obviously not throwing him under the bus. You're trying to help him. And, you know, at some point, like, the kids become the parents. You know, it's like, I love this, that little cycle. So Chloe, 16, cares deeply about her father, who's 51, feels like he's grinding at the office job too much. So I'm going to talk to both of you guys, maybe even mostly dad, just for a second here. I think it's important to recognize that there, right now, more than any time before in the history of the world, there are so many paths to get to wherever you want to go. One of the things, I do a little meme every time I get my haircut, which I'm long overdue for, by the way. I'm going to see Mitch tomorrow. But I got a little meme on my Insta stories and Snapchat where I ask Mitch this question. Hey, Mitch, do you ever cut hair without a plan? And he says, no, Chase. whenever I cut your hair, I have a plan. And the same is true with life. If you don't know where you want to go, you don't know, you haven't defined what success looks like for you, or you haven't defined what you want to be or become or what your career is, you're never going to get there, right? Because there is no there. And usually once you get there, then you're setting other goals and you continue moving. So it's very important, I believe, to build something with the end in mind. What would it look like if your wildest dreams came true? And then that's the path that you put yourself on. That is why Creative Live exists, for example, so people can learn about their passions and the things that they might not otherwise be able to learn without, you know, going to some dumb four-year school where they're sinking all their money. This is learning from the world's top experts. So I'm encouraging people to set a goal of what they want to be or become and then pursue that. So the fact that there are a million paths to get there, in order to do the thing that you want to do right now, where you used to have to do X, then Y, then Z, and then if you pass the test at Z, then you would be able to become the thing. That is completely exploded now for 95% of the jobs in the universe. And for you all who are 16 right now, like Chloe, the like 50 or 60% of the jobs that your age group is going to have literally don't even exist yet. So it's very hard to set these goals. I get that. But the fact that there are so many paths to get wherever, like right now, I'm an entrepreneur, the CEO and founder of Creative Live. Normally, I would have had to gone to school, you know, graduate from college, gotten an MBA in order to sort of have any venture capitalist investment. That's totally gone now. So the fact that there are a million paths to me makes, if you're listening, like pay attention, chill out. Chill out. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or 50 or 80. What matters is that you're starting something, you're putting yourself on that path. Whatever you've done to date doesn't have any way, shape, or form to decide what you can be. I'm banking that that stuff behind you is very helpful because you'll have gained a certain amount of wisdom along the way. Use that wisdom to apply toward your future. That's beautiful, right? Like the fact that your father at 51 can decide he wants to scoop ice cream for the rest of his life, or that he can become a screen printer, or hell, now even an astronaut. You used to have to be an astronaut from day one, and now we're about to enter a completely different universe with respect to space travel, thanks to Elon Musk and Richard Branson and a bunch of smart, crazy folks that are going to fly people to the stars on the regular. You actually could conceive of becoming, just starting to live the dream of becoming an astronaut at 50 years old. I give that example because I want to underpin that whatever your dad is doing right now, if that's what he wants, if he wants to be dedicated to his family more than his blog and his photography, more power to him. You gotta respect that. If, however, your dad's telling you, you know, in one ear, he's like, God, I wish I could do more of this or that. If you're not doing what you want to be doing and you are using words like I got a mortgage and I got kids and I got all these things, I bet if you went to Chloe and you went to anybody else in the family and you said to them, hey, you guys, I really want to make a career change. Could we all be in this together? Could we spend a little bit of money? Can we maybe sell one of the cars? Can we downsize into a smaller apartment so that I can be happy and pursue my dreams? I'm betting 9 out of 10 families would say, we got your back. So Chloe, I don't want you to assume you know what your dad's going to want to be for the next chapter of his life without talking to him. And then Dad, if you aren't doing the thing that you want to be doing, it's up to you to shift gears. No one else is going to shift gears for you. So good luck with this. I think that was some pretty wicked advice. Thanks for having the guts to call in, Chloe. You are awesome. And give a shout out to your dad.
Some great advice it was. Thank you very much, Chase Jarvis. That phone number again you can call is 802-962-4357. Leave your question. That's about it for me. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.